This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Some people like Chris Emma.
Some people love Chris Emma, and I am one of those people. He's a good man and thorough.
I just like him. I'm not there to love yet, but you guys have known each other longer. No offense, Chris. No offense.
When Emma was a student, that's when I met a Chris Emma. He's hungry to get into the business, and now look at him. He's out here asking tough questions at press conferences and pinning Matt Eberflus down.
Doing sports updates on the 50,000-watt blowtorch down the hall. It's a busy man.
Yeah, that press conference on Sunday where Emma is pinning people down on two-point conversions and game management like he was Bret Hart with a sharpshooter. It was awesome.
That was one of those two where you sit down kind of just front row and like just kind of ready to go on that one. I was this close to being like, what the heck was that? Like, it's one of those.
I think a lot of Bears fans were in that same boat.
I mean, yeah, and our buddy, our teammate Mark Grody got to sit next to me or whatever you want to call it in the press box and just hear me kind of talk football throughout. And
lucky man.
Yeah, right. And somewhere is that proceeding was going on with the timeouts and the clock management. I'm like, dude, this is going to come back to bite them. Like, you just could see it coming the whole way.
Yeah.
It was tough.
So you've had a chance to talk to Flus a couple of times since then. Caleb the one time after the game, and then today is Caleb Day. We'll get to Caleb Williams, but is the headline of the day what Caleb had to say, or is the headline the offensive line stuff? What is it to you?
Yeah. The headline is going to be Caleb. There's a lot to cover from Caleb Williams. I get an appreciation for the way he comes into that room after a couple tough games, and I know he had his moments there, but it's a tough loss. This team is down. There's a lot to try to bounce back from, and he just has a great way about him when he comes into that room, and he seems ready to find solutions. So let's get right to it, I guess. Yeah, here's Caleb Williams talking about kind of what they're looking at with the offense and their search for solutions and an identity.
No, I don't fight any feelings of that. I'm more of a guy that, and I said this, I was talking to Shane this morning. I mean, and like y'all, like I just said before, communication-wise, just talking to him this morning, it was like, if I got to throw the ball 50 times, I got to throw the ball 50 times. But if we're in a flow and we're running the ball, we're getting 4 yards of pop on the play and things like that, you know, let's keep handing the ball off to our running backs and let them be special. So like I said, whatever, like I said on Sunday after the game, whatever it takes to win the game is what I'm going to do and what I'm happy to do. It's what I'm here to do is win games. And so we got to get it going. Got to get the offense going. Got to get the run game going and things like that. I got to be better. Would not turn the ball over and a lot more. So, we're going to be better. We're excited for this week to go against the LA Rams, at our hometown. I know everybody's going to be happy and rowdy to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if everybody's going to be happy and rowdy. They're going to need to be shown something because the vibes are down. But Caleb's saying everything you should say about the offensive mix.
100%. And I think his maturity is one of his greatest strengths. And he's definitely going to need it going forward because he's learning how difficult it can be when you don't have exactly what you need to be successful.
I was really curious about that, Lawrence. Like, we've got to know Caleb since he got selected in April, and obviously well before then as you kind of build up and learn more about this kid. But the one thing you didn't know and you weren't going to find out until it happened was, how does he handle losses as an NFL starting quarterback, a rookie, and coming into a team that we know has got a lot of things they're trying to figure out? And I was curious. He was in that honeymoon period leading up to that Texans game when he got beat around, and it was tough for him. And he's the same guy there. He's really just got a great personality. He's got a very positive mindset. And you feel that whenever he's there at the podium or there in the locker room. And it's a small thing, and it doesn't really matter from a football standpoint. But from our perspective, being in that locker room, like, he's there every day. Just talk with people, talk with reporters, with teammates, with staffers. Just he's there to get to know people. Like, it's a really genuine thing with him. And look, these guys are busy. They go through treatment. They go through whatever else during their day. Or a lot of people just don't want to be in that locker room when times are tough. He's right there, and he's got a good presence to him.
So we know that he was an Aaron Rodgers guy growing up and watching, and we know that he is a Matthew Stafford guy. He said that's his number two quarterback in the NFL. What did he say about Stafford on his way in this week?
Yeah, he made that comment a few weeks back, and then we kind of raised eyebrows from people, and everybody started forming their quarterback list in their head. But I love his answer on this. He was asked today, I believe by our buddy Kevin Fishbane, about why is Matthew Stafford somebody he really looks up to? Here's Caleb Williams.
It really started watching Megatron, obviously getting triple covered and stuff like that. And then I got a little older and kind of realized how good Matthew Stafford is at his job. I think that started at a young age, but it originally started watching and I guess seeing the highlights of Megatron.
And then what about Stafford's game? Do you really?
Yeah, I'd say he controls the game. As a quarterback, he knows how to get in and out of things efficiently. He knows where people are going to be. He knows where the defensive players are going to be, so he can move them on a string. Watching him be able to move defenders, be able to, move and maneuver in the pocket and still deliver, some nice passes down the field or, even just getting the ball to your back and allow him to go to work. Keeping the ball in play and, a bunch of different arm angles and, things like that. So he's been doing it for a while. So watching someone like that that's had the success that he's had, you want to learn from that. So it's going to be exciting to go against him.
Man, it is so cool to hear him talk about great quarterbacks because you hear how he envisions himself playing the position once he's comfortable enough. Once the offensive line is giving him enough time, like all those things, you hear how he wants to play. And there's a very high cerebral level of understanding what a great quarterback does. The other thing, Lawrence, is like Stafford's willingness to throw it into double and triple coverage for Megatron and to trust him is something he wants to do with Rome, right? It's something he wants to do with a guy with good Guagi on his team.
There's no doubt about that he wants to, and he's been making it clear. Emma, you've heard him talk about all these things with the extra time that those guys are spending together after practice to work on stuff.
Yeah, I'll use the term to follow up on that. He talked about Keenan Allen today. Said you can throw that guy a ball in a phone booth and he's going to find space to catch it. When you talk about double coverage and getting the ball to a reliable target, that's what he's talking about. He wants those relationships. He's been working on that, as we know, since before he was even drafted by the Bears and really establishing that kind of chemistry with his guys. And it's a work in progress. We know it is. We've seen it on the field, but it's getting there. I thought it was very important in the silver lining of this past Sunday in Indy, that Rome Odunze connection. Like, they were locked in. He was leading him with deep balls. He was putting it on the spot for him. That's months and months of work that finally paid off on the field, and they had success together.
And I got no issue with that second interception when Rome is open for a split second, defender has his back turned, and he's trying to gun it in there. That's the NFL when you trust your guy.
Yeah, it's... You find what you can and can't get away with. But to your point, I like the aggressiveness. And he was aggressive throughout most of that game. I think at some point he kind of realized, you're going to hear more about it, but like, he had to make a lot of plays for this team. I think he knows this running game's not working. The offensive line's struggling. I think he took maybe even too much to put on his shoulders, but he's confident with it. And that's a good starting place. That's a great foundation to have as a rookie quarterback, is believing in yourself and knowing you can make these throws. And sometimes you're going to throw picks. Sometimes you're going to make mistakes. But he doesn't lack any confidence.
You brought it up. There's injuries on this offensive line. They've struggled to run the ball. What are they talking about trying to do to fix this?
So I'll preface this a bit, because Matt Eberflus, as we know, does his opening statements, and he covers kind of what he wants to cover, or frankly, I think sometimes what he hopes he can get out of the way and that we don't follow up on. And you're going to hear a bit of that. Matt Eberflus came in with his opening statement, and he's not usually one to volunteer, hey, here's what we're doing with alignments or with starting positions in the depth chart. And he got right into it with the offensive line. Darnell Wright, as we know, is dealing with a back issue, and he was out of practice today. I think it's certainly one you follow heading into Sunday. Matt Eberflus volunteered that and then talked about the offensive line. So here's Matt Eberflus.
So injury update. We have Darnell Wright will not be out there today. He's got dealing with a back. It's day-to-day. He will not be out there today, but we're hopeful that it's he'll work through it. In terms of the questions of the offensive line with Darnell being out, you know, it's during training camp, we worked our different options that we have there. And I think it's important that we utilize that flexibility for some people, you know. So I think that, again, without saying too much, you know, obviously we're hopeful he comes back, but we'll work those combinations during practice today as we go forward through the week. And we'll see where it is tomorrow.
Will Pryor stay at right guard this week, or do you have to look at him at right tackle?
Well, he's the guy that we have flexibility with, right? He's got some flexibility, so that's what we have to work through. You know, we have to see where we are. That was talking about in the opener. In terms of where we need to flex and move around based on the health of Darnell.
How's Karan look, and is he a legitimate option at right tackle?
Yeah, Karan's looked really good. He is one of our options, and he's looked good. He's continuing to improve. He's a guy that's super smart. He doesn't, in terms of the mentals. And the technique is just keeping improving every single week, and we're working hard to get him there.
You alluded to flexibility with a guy like Pryor. Karan is an option. It seems like there's openness for competition on the offensive line. Is that kind of what you're wanting, is to kind of create this kind of pressing some of these guys to pick up their game a little bit?
Yeah, we're looking for the best five, and again, that's not, we don't want musical chairs in there. That's we're not at that point. We want guys to solidify themselves in there by their performance and then keep going in terms of the consistency, having week after week performing at a high level. So that's what we're searching for. It's early in the season. We're looking for that. And, some of the guys are doing that. We just got to keep pressing the whole group to do it.
Let me say, first of all, I saw the mentals on a bill with the Jesus Lizard and Screeching Weasel at the Fireside Lounge. I think it was 2001. Karan Amagaje might have to play. Matt Pryor and Karan Amagaje, I mean, that's it. Larry Borum's on injured reserve here. For anybody who's thinking about, who is the guy they had at swing tackle last year? He's not around. So it's Pryor and Amagaje. Those are the only two options at tackle as far as we know.
Yeah, and look, here's the other part of this equation now. Is Matt Pryor your new right guard? Like, until Ryan Bates gets back and healthy, I'm wondering if they're just kind of done with the Nate Davis thing. I thought it was notable, and talk with people around the league, they seem to agree the idea of he was active on Sunday, but not starting. And then when somebody goes down, you got to put him back in there. It was Braxton Jones went down. You got to slide Pryor over to tackle. And Nate Davis, suddenly healthy enough to play as a reserve, but not starting. I find that curious.
That is a big question for me too, Emma. How much of that was benching? Because if the dude is active and available, and yet you have somebody else in his spot, what the hell are we doing here?
And they've privately really liked what Matt Pryor has done. We've heard Matt Eberflus kind of sing some of his praises. Look, this guy's not been a star by any means in his past, but I think he's serviceable at this point, and he can play guard or tackle. So if you're forming that best five, is Matt Pryor your starting right guard? And then you slide over Amagaje to one of the tackle positions. Is he the guy stepping in for Darnell Wright until he's back up and running? I did get to talk to Karan Amagaje today as well. He said he's comfortable playing either side. He explained kind of the differences in switching over from left and right and needing to be versatile for this team. But he's ready to go. He's able to step in if necessary. I'm very curious to see how they open up the competition on this offensive line, because it's clear they're frustrated. They want to get this thing figured out, and they need to get this thing figured out.
One of the smart, he doesn't, in terms of the mentals.
One of the I think positives that came out of the game was how well Roma Dunze played. You saw him do a lot of cool stuff. What are they saying about him up at Hallis?
I mean, ever since they got Roma Dunze in the building, they've been singing his praises, and we know how badly Ryan Poles wanted to land Roma Dunze with the ninth pick. Like, that was somebody who was very high on their list. They were ready to jump up to 6, 7, or 8 if needed to get him. They believed in this kid all the way. He didn't just have a good game for a rookie on Sunday. He had a good game for like a star wide receiver. He was outstanding, and he was dialed in with Caleb Williams. It's really important too when you consider Keenan Allen was not out there. That was supposed to be the security measure for a young quarterback, is throwing big old number 13 the ball. He wasn't there, and Roma Dunze is a guy, even as a rookie, that Caleb Williams knows he can count on when DJ Moore is covered. So we heard from DJ Moore today, and I asked him, what did you think of Roma Dunze?
I don't know. I was happy for him. He could tell you that I was the first person when he crossed that 100-yard mark. I was like, hey, you did it, man. Welcome to the league. But I don't know. He just was going out there, winning his one-on-ones, making the catches that he made, and I was happy for him.
His talent is obvious. You could see that leading up to the draft. But what have you seen from him in terms of grasping the offense, being in the right spot, being reliable during his time here?
I think that everything from, like, our defense, they play around fast. So I think the offense has slowed down for him, and the game is slowing down for him faster than what he thought, and he's out there just playing free now.
That's really interesting, where I think it's similar to what we were talking about in the last segment with Caleb, where you go, hey, are you going to be able to catch up to how quickly things go at the next level? And it looks like there's a comfort that's happening with both of those guys.
Yeah, there's a chemistry. Like, we know how close they've been. Hey, Caleb Williams was thrilled when he was in Detroit and found out that it was Rome Odunze who was going to be the number 1-9 overall pick, and that's somebody he really believes in. It's exciting more so. It was exciting on Sunday when you see it in that one-game sample and third game of their respective careers, but it's even more exciting when you think about the big picture, about that connection, what it could be 2, 3, 4, 5 years and so down the road.
Like, he looked for him again on a similar play to the one he completed in preseason that we all couldn't stop talking about, where he's scrambling left and looks for Rome breaking down the sideline. Rome is his scramble drill guy who turns and goes deep.
Yep, no doubt. And Caleb told him, look, I'm going to get you the ball. Like, he said that before the game leading up to it. Now, to your point, Spiegs, was he saying, I'm going to get you the ball when this pocket breaks down and this is my best option? I don't know. He's certainly not saying that publicly, but Caleb's smart. He knows kind of what he's up against, and that was a workaround for an offensive line that's not at all been reliable, was going to number 15 and hitting him in stride, and that connection is strong. They really feel good together.
We're going to turn the page later in the hour, and we got some Caleb stuff we want to get to, but tell us about Eberflus and Sean McVay, one of the gold standards in coaching in this league.
It's a chess match. And consider now, from Matt Eberflus' perspective, he went out and hired somebody from the Sean McVay tree to run his offense in Shane Waldron, and obviously it's not worked out well for Waldron, but he believes in that tree. He loves that system, and that's somebody that Matt Eberflus has a ton of respect for, Sean McVay. So that's going to be a really intriguing matchup to follow as you get into this week, and especially given the Rams are shorthanded. No Cup, no Nacua. Matt Eberflus has a really strong defense that we've seen. Matt Eberflus, as I said, has a ton of respect for Sean McVay. So here's Matt Eberflus.
The pace. I think he has great pace to the offense. He gets plays in and out fast. So you got to be able to operate at a fast level in terms of the execution. You know, the most motions in football, you know, so there's a cross the ball motion prior to and then on the snap. So he's looking at your gap integrity there in terms of your defense and your communication. If you are, you know, communicating in terms of the coverage, the back end part of it. So that's where it is, and very good in situations, you know, very good in the short yard situations, red area situations. So, and he's done a great job in 2 minutes, you know. So couple that with the quarterback that he has to operate that offense, it's good. I know they're down weapons and all that stuff, but again, they found a way to move the ball effectively, you know, last week and to get the victory. So, yeah.
I've got more on that when we do our next segment, and I think that you're going to be impressed, Speaks, with what happened in that comeback against the 49ers. Communication, getting plays in, that's something that Matt Eberflus says about McVay. It's something that you wonder about as it pertains to the Bears. We want to go back and get your thoughts on this, Emma. This was Caleb Williams after the game on Sunday, kind of talking a little bit about how things work as they're trying to get plays in and executed.
I think more communication within you know, the offense, figuring out, you know, our pass protection this game was definitely, you know, a lot better. And we changed some things up, you know, figuring out what fits us as a team. I think so the constant communication that I've talked about before, I think goes a long way. And I think we need to keep doing that.
See, that is interesting. I'm glad that there was follow-up on it, because pass protection was better because of communication. Who was listening? I have questions based
okay,
on that.
Good. You're not the only one. Dan Wiederer followed up on this, and he wanted to ask Caleb specifically about that quote and got, I think, a pretty good answer from Caleb Williams on what he meant.
Coming out of Sunday, you expressed the need for constant communication as this offense tries to find itself. What does that require from you, and what do you hope that looks like from the group at large as you guys figure this thing out early?
Yeah, so it first starts with me. You know, being able to be a better communicator to, you know, the coaches, the players, and things like that. About, you know, I guess I would say a little bit more things that, you know, I like a little bit more for certain situations, or, you know, being a little bit more communicative and talking, you know, to those guys that are out there, you know, with us, what they're seeing, and things like that. And then you get to the sideline and being able to handle things properly on the sideline and understand that, you know, we have another drive, we have this and that when we're in practice, when we're in throughout the week and things like that, in our off time throughout the week, making sure we communicate properly to make sure that we're, you know, running things that work well with us, you know, myself included in that, and things that, you know, that we haven't may have had too many reps on or routes or things like that over, you know, these past 3 or 4 months of being here, you know, that we communicate that and just making sure we're running things that we're all comfortable with, that are obviously good plays that work well against the other team, but, you know, more importantly, things that, you know, we know and that we feel comfy running.
Has Shane asked you for that input, or does that have to come from you?
Yeah, so Shane and I have talked about it. Yeah, we've talked about it throughout the weeks, but just been a little bit more in depth, I would say, is what we've kind of come to after this past game. Been a little bit more in depth about it, I would say, is the, you know, kind of what, kind of the adjustment we've made since after this last game.
Speaks, you put up the people's eyebrow like you were the Rock. What stood out to you?
Him needing to be more direct and communicate clearer to his offensive coordinator. You know the dynamics. We've seen it a lot where the quarterback coach might be the guy. And in fact, we know that Kerry Joseph is the guy that connects.
The go-between.
The go-between. And like, all right, as you're watching film all offseason and you're trying to learn the playbook, you have any questions, you text me. Don't bother Shane. You text me. I'll take care of you. Like, that's the relationship that was established. So when we see the moment, like you and I saw, even just on the TV copy of Caleb walking off and bitching about something to Kerry Joseph and venting, because we all need to do that, and we all have a guy, probably, if you're in a position like that, you know, here he is pointing the thumb and saying, I have to be more direct about it. So, and like, it connects to what you were realizing watching the All 22. Caleb is getting some stuff. He is understanding some stuff. So now, young fella, take ownership of this offense the way that Josh Allen eventually did, and it made Brian Daboll expendable, and they're still rolling as the best quarterback in the NFL. Like, I mean, eventually there comes a time, and maybe it has to come early for Caleb, where you take control of it and tell your OC what you need and what you run well.
Emma, I got 30 seconds.
I mean, the thing to consider, too, is Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley were tied at the hip of the college game. Caleb went to Oklahoma to join him with the Sooners, followed him to L.A., joined him with the Trojans. They were on the same page. They had a great connection together, and they could go to each other with anything. It's different now for a rookie quarterback with a new offensive coordinator stepping into this. I think it's a very important step for Caleb Williams, kind of putting his voice out there and saying, this is what we need more of.
Any nuggets, real quick, and nuggets on the injury front? Anything else we need to know?
Yeah, injury report came out while we were on air here. Braxton Jones with a knee injury, limited. He went down, of course, during the game. I think he's probably okay, but that's another offensive lineman on the list. Montez Sweat still dealing with the elbow injury. Good news for short yardage running game. Kari Blasen game was limited, which is a step up after not practicing. Maybe he'll get a fullback out there this weekend.
Chris Emma does a great job covering the Bears. Check out his work on 670thescore.com. We need to take a break. We're going to turn the page from this particular game and get you ready for Bears-Rams. It's next here on The Score.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Beagle and Holmes.
Good vibes, babe.
Afternoons on the Score.
Turn the page Wednesday. Look ahead Wednesday. Turn the page Wednesday.
I don't know when I turn the page.
What we feel like is a great opportunity to turn the page.
Which haven't been able to, like, turn the page.
If that's what you have to do. You got to turn the page.
I think now we all can move on.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
There I go.
Let's do it. Every Wednesday, we have processed the last game in the football season. We move on to the next. The Rams come in here, Lawrence Holmes, 27th in rushing offense, 9th in passing offense, 19th overall. Matthew Stafford, 15th in quarterback rating with a 92.6, but we know that guy. He can beat any defense on any day with any throw in the book. No Puka Nacua. He's on injured reserve. No Cooper Kupp again this week. That made official today. Their most targeted wide receivers are Tutu Atwell, DeMarcus Robinson, and Tyler Johnson. And still Matthew Stafford can get it done. As far as the defense, they're dead last in yards allowed. 28th in rushing yards.
Uh-huh.
They're super excited to get the Bears' run game. That's the way that the Rams are looking ahead to this week. Like, oh, we're going to get healthy as a run defense because the Bears are 31st in rushing yards and 31st in yards per carry. One other thing about that Rams defensive line, though, is that they can get to the quarterback. 27 pressures of Brock Purdy. Gone is Aaron Donald. They've got Jared Verse, powerful off the edge. Braden Fisk up the gut. Kobe Turner, Byron Young. Brian Baldinger said yesterday that he thinks the Rams' young defensive line might be the best young defensive line in football. So, young and interesting group to check out for the Bears this coming Sunday.
They are coming off of a game where they were down 14, having only had 3 offensive snaps. They were down 10 in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
And they rally to beat the 49ers.
Second down and goal from the 4. Stafford making an adjustment. Play clock at 6. He's back in position in the shotgun. Atwell in motion out the right side. They run the delay. Up the middle. Kyren Williams in for his 3rd touchdown. Diving straight ahead for a hat trick. And the Rams have tied it up from down 14-0. From down 21-7. From down 24-17, they've tied it up.
They tied it up and they won. 27-24 was the final. They've had a lot of injuries guard to guard. Their tackles have still been healthy and did a great job of protecting Matthew Stafford last week. There's something specific that I wanted to tell you about that I think that you will get a kick out of because of some of the discussions that we've been having about the Bears this week. Under Sean McVay and this season in the first 2 games that the Rams played, the Rams were in 11 personnel. So 3 wide receivers.
1 tight end.
100% of the time. Okay?
Wow.
But then you end up with injuries to Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. McVay and Stafford went into that and adapted. They played out of mostly 12 personnel.
2 tight ends.
In this particular game, and they said, screw it. We're going to take it to the 49ers. And then Stafford came up with a bunch of big plays. Their run game was robust in this one. But the adaptability of a coach to go, yeah, I know that this is the way that I primarily like to win. We can't do that because we don't have the personnel that we need to do what we ordinarily do. Let's flip it on its head. Let's do something that they're not expecting us to do.
It's football, mister.
That's why I think Sean McVay is an incredible coach.
I agree. And just because you're on his tree doesn't mean you know what the hell you are doing. We'll hope for that kind of adaptability from Shane Waldron. Tomorrow on this show, you're going to hear some great, great stuff from Sean McVay that Lawrence has dug up and turned us on to. Cannot wait to hear that tomorrow.
We got to get ready for these guys now. They got a hell of a young coach. He's an offensive-minded guy. He's coming here to wreck your ass.
Okay.
It's John Gruden from his new website, somebodypleasepaymetotalkfootball.com.
Or coach football. That's what he really wants.
Either one. Either one would be fine. I'll coach it or talk it.
So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. It's what I like to call sexy football. And Sean McVay is great at doing like the sexy football thing. But I just love like watching that game. You go, wow, this is – you think that it's not the way that Sean McVay gets down yeah. offensively. But what he keeps showing you is that he's got a lot of versatility from where he can draw from to make his offense work.
The NFC North. You wanted to check in with the North, didn't you, Mr.
Yes,
Holmes?
Very much so.
Bears are in last place. They're 1-2. Two other teams are 2-1. And, of course, the Vikings, like everybody thought, are undefeated atop the standings.
Sam Darnold is doing great. He's got 8 touchdowns with only 2 interceptions. He's got a 117.3 passer rating. Sam Darnold, left for dead Sam Darnold has got that. So let's hear from his head coach, Kevin O'Connell, who I think is really good and has done an incredible job of working with his QB.
So much of my evaluation of Sam and just my overall kind of, you know, plan bringing him here was based on seeing the physical talent, seeing the athletic ability, seeing the arm talent and him making some really impressive throws, and then trying to evaluate what was the why behind either a mistake that was made, what was the situation of the game, was he being asked to do too much, you know, or was he just trying to, you know, stay competitive in some football games there by making some throws. It all comes back to Sam here being totally present and worrying about his job here within our offense, which has been much more than just managing the game, which he's done a very nice job of. It's been much more than just handling adversity and moving on to the next snap. It's been, you know, being really impressive throwing the ball, hitting open guys, playing with great rhythm. You know, his technique and fundamentals that we've stressed since he got here have shown up in games.
So, I mean, all these offensive coordinators are always looking for the why. I miss the new city why. I used to play a lot of ball there.
The whys?
Yeah, everybody's always looking for the whys.
If you're paying attention in the city, you can see the municipal why in a lot of different places.
You can?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Shane, you know about the municipal why.
It's everywhere.
It's basically how the river is branched.
The whys.
It's on, like, all the light poles, yeah. And you can see it everywhere.
Okay.
The municipal Y.
I didn't know that.
If you were looking,
it's a very fun thing.
If you were looking for the Y,
is it kind of like the Schlitz globe that's on a few different bars?
It's so weird because it's literally exactly like that. Yeah.
It is, right?
Yeah, or like the old style sign or the ham sign that you see everywhere. You see the Y and how the river is formed everywhere in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you will see it everywhere that you're thinking about
or it. Or like if you're looking at a Milwaukee Brewers cap and then you see the MB.
Oh, right,
I
know.
No,
yeah, right, that first time you see it.
And you're like, oh, that's why that's like that.
Yeah. My first time for the NB, I wasn't until I was like 23. And people said I was a late bloomer, but I found it.
Or it's like when you're looking at the Bulls logo and you flip it up and it's somebody reading the Torah.
Yes,
right?
That's exactly what it looks like, too. It absolutely. The Vikings are taking on the Packers this week. It's a noon Sunday kick. They are preparing, the Vikings are preparing for both quarterbacks, whether it's Malik Willis or Jordan Love. But whatever they have gotten already out of Malik Willis is pretty great, and it lets you know that LaFleur knows what he's doing.
Maybe a change of scenery can be good for some guys. And I just cannot articulate the job that he's done in the short period of time. People can't fathom it, I promise you. You guys don't get it. I know you think you got it. But you don't get it. What he's been able to do is I've never seen something like this. So hats off to him. Hats off to everybody around him. Guys rallying, having his back. You know, I think Tom Clements does a great job. And it wouldn't, you know, I'd be remiss to say Connor Lewis and Sean Mannion. Just the help they've given him, the support. Jordan Love's been instrumental as well. Just giving him the tips and hanging right by his side and helping him out all along the way.
Man,
why are all the old football guys telling us we don't know what we're talking about?
I think we get
it. They're right.
I want to tell Matt LaFleur that we get it. We do. He doesn't think we do. You don't get it. You may say you get it.
I think we get it.
I don't think we do. I think we probably don't.
So 3-0 Vikings taking on 2-1 Packers. The 2-1 Lions this week are going to take on Seattle on Monday Night Football in Detroit. I don't know if people have been paying attention, but Aiden Hutchinson, 6.5 sacks and a forced fumble. That guy's terrifying.
And he's pressuring people even when he's not finishing. He's changing plays constantly on that team.
Yeah, he's been real damn good. So now we have turned the page a little bit, and we have taken a look at the NFC North, which I think is important for us to do every week.
We'll do that together every Wednesday right here on this show.
When we come back, though, we do have to go back to talking a little bit about your Chicago Bears.
I turned the page, Lawrence.
Guess what? We're turning it back next on The Score.
He hasn't had that pressure of Potsy and those guys coming at him, like, you know, grilling him post-game. How does he react then?
That's Jarrett Payton pointing out that life is different. Once you come to Chicago, you greet that Bears media and you got to deal with Mark Potash. I don't know, whatever you think you've dealt with. You deal with Potsy, it's a whole nother smoke.
Well, Potsy is dogged and he is researched and he's fearless when it comes to asking questions at press conference.
Absolutely love it.
I think this, I don't know if people have been paying attention, and I know we joked a little bit about it on Monday, but if you looked at what the beat was saying, if you were looking at tweets from Dan Wiederer or Chris Emma or Herb Howard or Josh Schrock on what it is that they feel like they're seeing compared to what it is that they were kind of told they were going to see, I'm glad to see them continue to think critically and to put pressure on. Follow-up questions like Wiederer's question to Caleb today. Like, that's the type of stuff that I expect from the Bears beat, and they are providing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Potsy and Flus talking about stuff. Tanny, we have Caleb talking about this, but do we have also Potsy and Flus talking about the offensive line rooms? Just trying to make sure I have my ducks in a row here.
Yeah, this will just be Caleb and Potsy for now.
Okay.
Caleb, Matt Eberflus is a guy who likes to be involved in the offense, even though he's a defensive guy.
Yep.
What has his role been in these last week or so as you're trying to get this offense, you know, get going? How much influence has he had, and what's his role been in trying to get this thing going?
Yeah, I mean, he's in the room, but he's been in the room since training camp. New quarterback, new OC and things like that. He's been in the room helping out as much as he could, whether it's, you know, us asking him how he sees this, you know, what works best with this. I think he's been helpful, you know, throughout my time here of just being in the room because of how much knowledge he has of the defense and defenses that, you know, that he's seen. He's been great. He's been helpful.
He is not a stranger any place in the world. He lights up a room.
No, we don't know for sure that Eberflus lights up a room the way that Robin Ventura did. We don't know for sure, but we do know that he's been in there, and that's good.
What's he doing in that room?
I don't know.
He's in the room.
Yeah, okay, good. Good. He's in the room.
He be in that room?
In the offensive room? Sure. I'm okay. You're the head coach.
Didn't it kind of sound like Caleb was annoyed by it, though? It's like, yeah, I mean, he's in the room.
Didn't we have this, is it last year or the year before?
But this was a Justin thing,
thing. Don't you think there was a Justin thing where he mentioned that Eberflus was in the room?
I thought the conversation was between us and we were mad about Mitch being in our pre-show meetings.
Well, Porth was in there today.
He can come by anytime he wants. He's right next door.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the room.
I mean, that's fine. No, so I was confused because what we all heard the other day from Olin Krutz, we all kind of flagged it, was Olin, you know, thinking about Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, when all these reports were out from last week of Matt Eberflus being in the offensive line room, because Flus is just going room to room. He's just going to different rooms, seeing if his keys work, like he's just checking.
They should.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the room.
He's the head coach. His key card should work everywhere.
So how would Olin feel if he was an offensive line coach and the head coach is suddenly in your room?
Some of the things you got to leave for the players, right? Like you go in the room and you say, Caleb, this is what, when he had his meeting with
I don't know how many positions does he meet with now? Linebackers, quarterbacks, offensive line. You know, if I'm Coach Morgan, I'm like, Coach Flus, man, appreciate it, but you don't know anything about opening your foot, getting your pad under somebody, straining through their chest, and getting your hands inside and regrouping. Right? I have to do my job. If you need to sit in here with me, just get rid of me. Right? If you need to sit in my room and help me coach my offensive line, you can just send me on my way, because I don't need that right now. I don't need to, I'm a professional offensive line coach, right? I'm supposed to be one of the best in the world. I'm supposed to be the best 32 offensive line coaches in the world. If you feel like you have to watch over me, just you can go ahead. And if you feel like you have to announce it, if you have to announce that you have been in the offensive line room, you can go in and move on from me.
Oh, man.
So is this Eberflus's way of letting the public know, listen, I hear where you're coming from. I'm on it. I'm in the room.
I think so. I mean, it's how a defensive head coach has to make sure that he is coming across as involved when the offense is very important during the course of the week.
I do understand where Olin's coming from, though.
You don't want that guy coming in the room like, I know how to do this, by the way. Yeah.
Right? That
I get it.
Ordinarily, what would happen is that the head coach would have a conversation with the offensive line coach away from the offensive line coach's players.
Well, I wouldn't want the head coach going in there and overruling on skills.
Do you want him in there
technique.
Doing like skits and stuff?
No, but if it's scheme,
magic tricks?
If it's scheme and like mindset and the way you're supposed to think about certain plays, or like to help them think about the way the defenders want to. I mean, he's got the right to do that. I would like him to bring lemonade, you know?
Well, they do that, right? Isn't that what they did for the reporters? They did a whole thing. I mean, it was too hot during training camp, and someone had like joked about lemonade, and then Poles and Eberflus brought the reporters lemonade the next day.
Oh, boy.
People can't fathom it. I promise you. You guys don't get it. I know you think you got it, but you don't get it.
I love lemonade. It's a cool, refreshing drink.
I think it stemmed also from Poles and Eberflus working the free lemonade stand at camp for the fans, and then the media was like, hey, we
Where's
want
ours?
Lemonade.
Okay. It's hot out here in these streets.
Lemonade was a popular drink, and it still is.
It still is.
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
Lemonade. That
little
cool, refreshing drink.
A little gin and lemonade.
Oh, yeah, it's delightful. Mm. Yeah, vodka?
A nice breakfast gin.
Is that the name of the show now?
Breakfast nice breakfast gin. No, that doesn't mean you're drinking it at breakfast. It's a variation of gin.
Speaking of breakfast, Paul, did Danny steal something from us? Is that what I heard? There's just a flat-out bit of thievery going on from us?
Yeah, we need more time for that. Okay. So let's do that tomorrow when we can really stretch
our legs.
Let's
really lean in.
Wait, what do you mean he stole something?
He stole something. Well,
he
whatever.
Stole something from the show.
Whatever. Like, took it from here?
Yeah.
And it, like,
just trust me. He and Carton and Schlereth played categories. They played categories, and I'm not happy about it.
Shut up, Shane. I thought I could have fun on this show, too. I'm not allowed.
What'd he say? I missed it.
I kept my mic off. I thought I had the same thought, but I kept my mic off.
Oh, no, I missed it. Are we going to bring that back?
Well, maybe. When we come back.
I'm going to go on the Odyssey app and listen to this.
Hit the rewind function. It'll help you out. Oh, by the way, Bears coverage here on The Score. On the Odyssey app, you just search it, then tap to follow, receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with David Haw and Dan Weider. It's really, really great. We'll talk with our guy, Patrick Manley, about all of the game theory and decision-making processes
yes.
that went on and went poorly. Next, here on The Score.